In a moment, I'm going to tell you the number one New Year's resolution for marriage for 2025. We'll see if you agree. Dr. Randy here. This is the Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Stephen. Love you guys. We're ready for this new year. Of course, we're into it already. Good distance. And so many of us have already kind of dropped the ball on the New Year's resolutions. We talked about that, haven't we? How we already have reached the quitter's point for too many. And so we want to come and just kind of camp around the idea of what one thing could you all do, I could do, we could do in our marriages that would make the biggest difference. Let's save a marriage today. We got somebody listening somewhere who just says, I don't know what to do. My marriage isn't working. We're not communicating. We're not on the same page. We're growing further apart. And we need some help. I don't even know where to begin. And maybe you all could share one thing that you're working on in your marriage, one thing that you're doing or your spouse is doing that's making a difference in your marriage. Give us a call. Phone lines open. We're live at 888-888-1717 today. 888-888-1717. According to Marriage Quest, the number one resolution for 2025 for marriage is we're going to communicate daily with intentionality. They even use the word with intentionality. Yeah. We're going to be active in our listening. That's what they're saying. We're going to communicate. We're going to connect. We're going to make things better. But here's a fact. 10 of the most common marriage problems that couples face. Here they are. We have communication issues. Isn't that interesting? Number one on the list, we don't communicate. My number one goal, we're going to communicate. I mean, this is not, as I often say, rocket science stuff. You know, whatever isn't working is what we need to work on. We don't have the same interest that we used to have. Our habits are different. Spending habits, how we use money. That's one of the top five common problems. Different feelings about social media. I thought that was interesting to go on the list. We have a different view. I think probably what's being said, some are saying too much, let's cut it out, we don't need it. And the spouse maybe is sort of addicted or caught into it, and it's creating distance and what? Lack of communication in the marriage. Jealousy has reared its ugly head in some form in the marriage. Feels like we're growing in different directions. Different stances on parenting. Boy, over the years, many, many years, we've talked about not being on the same page, getting on the same page, and what happens to our kids and grandkids when parents refuse, because that's what it is, refuse to agree and get on the same page. Number nine on the list, we're just bored. I think that can happen in marriage. You know, there's a high point, there's dating, there's honeymoon, and then the fact is you're raising kids. You're going through the motions. There's a lot of things, and it's easy to fall into boredom in life in general. That's why we need to have those little high points in our marriage, right? Dating, doing things to kind of keep the spark going. And then your conflict resolution skills need a bit of work, according to the research. That's true. All right. One thing, let's get right to it. Simple, plain, straightforward. Help America. Help those listening around the country. Tell us one thing that's working for you as quickly as you can. Let's go. 888-888-1717. Samantha, sounds like you've started that in Wisconsin. What's the one thing that you're doing for your marriage?
I learned very early on in our marriage that I had a picture in my head of who I thought he should be and who I thought, you know, he was. And, you know, I just had to learn to accept and love who he was completely, or his faults, that, you know, he wasn't maybe the perfect person that I thought he was, and, you know, I wasn't perfect, so we just kind of had to learn to accept each other completely.
So you got married with a whole set of expectations in your mind.
Yeah, I was young.
Yeah, in fact, number seven on my list, and number one often in my teaching for couples, is expectations. Whenever they're greater than reality equals disappointment.
Yeah, and it was really hard the first few years for me to finally come to that conclusion that I was holding him to higher standards than what I should have been. Mm.
And that's the tricky thing, because we want to have standards, obviously, in marriage. We don't just tolerate anything in marriage.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
but we can get picky,
get me wrong,
can't we?
A great guy.
Yeah, we can get picky, though, can't we?
Yeah, I was.
How long have you been married now, did you say?
9 years.
All right. So what you've learned, Samantha, is to be realistic with the expectations and love them anyway.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
I've learned to forgive a lot easier.
Yeah, that's really important. Let me just camp for a minute before we get on to Chad, who's listening in Arizona here. This thing of expectation, you need to write that down, circle it, and make it a point of real discussion in your marriage. If you want to clear some things up, and your communication allows you to do that, just ask the question: what are the top four or five things that you expect in marriage? And what are the four or five things I expect? And let's talk about it. Let's be open. Let's listen. Let's not argue. Let's not discount. Let's not discredit what our spouse says. And you may be surprised. You may catch a couple of them. You understand them. But it's very likely that there'll be two or three on that list that you'll say, I didn't know that. You know, what do you mean by that, Randy? I'm saying that your spouse may have some small little expectation that's not being met. Small to you, but big to them. Because sometimes we understand the big things. I mean, we understand that a spouse expects me to be faithful in marriage. I mean, that's not rocket science. We commit that on the day we got married. That's just sort of practical stuff, right? And when that expectation isn't met, the whole thing can blow up. But sometimes what wears at the edges of a marriage, a potentially healthy, growing, passionate marriage, are the little things. You know, I expect you to call if you're not going to be home on time. That might bug somebody. Maybe not somebody else. That may not be something that was in your family when you grew up. Your mom may not have expected that from dad. And now your spouse says, well, I do. And so clarifying those expectations, one of the best things you can do in 2025, clarify them and then work on them. Or if you can't, say, hey, that's something I can't do. But to be able to connect with each other. All right, Chad, you're in Arizona. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great today. Thank you for your call. What's your one thing for your marriage?
Well, the one thing that we do is we feed our marriage.
How do you do that? What do you mean?
So for our anniversary gifts to each other, what we do every year is we go to a marriage retreat. We go to a weekend couple seminar. We've read conflict resolution in marriages. We've understood and read our five love languages and how to address those. So each and every anniversary, our gift to each other is to pour into our marriage.
That's fantastic. So how would you rate your marriage scale 1 to 10?
Well, it's been 15 years and it feels like it's still the first 6 months.
Well, there you go. Feed the marriage. You feed the plants. You feed the dog. You see the TV commercials now with the high-priced feed your dog stuff. You know, you've seen that? You put it in the refrigerator and... is that dog food? No. And then they throw the person out of the door. Have you seen that one? Yeah. Feed your marriage. That should be right there at the top of the list. All right, Chad. Thank you, my friend. You can call in. What's your one thing? 888-888-1717. Arlena is in California. Welcome to the show today, Arlena.
Hi, Dr. Randy. How are you?
I think I'm probably doing better than you are from what I see on the screen here. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, my husband passed away last month on the 15th.
It's been
exactly a month.
I'm so sorry.
I've always tried to call you, and I'm finally now getting hold of you. But I was just wondering if you could just pray for me, because I miss my husband, and I just want to make sure that I follow the Holy Spirit to the best I can, you know, and I know God's got a plan for me, and so I just need prayer, you know?
I do, and I'll be happy to pray with you, and I think many people will join you around the country who'll be praying for you, and I think your call sort of puts an exclamation point on the topic today, because we're talking about one things, you know? And I'm going to do this one thing or that one thing. Arlena's calling saying, my husband passed away a month ago today. The time for one things are over. And It sounds to me like, Arlena, you had a good relationship with your husband. You guys were close over the years.
Yeah, we were together for 10 years. And we lived on the street. We met on the street. Like, for 5 years, we were homeless, and we got off the street. Mm-hmm. So we live in this big, beautiful house that I'm in right now. And had jobs and everything. And everything was going pretty good. And yeah.
Let me pray with you, Arlena. Let me pray with you. Father, I do pray for Arlena in California today. But wherever we are, when we go through a loss, we need each other. And it can be a time where we feel lost and disconnected. I pray that today that she'll feel your presence. She'll feel your presence in her life. And that those that can support her will come around her, her friends, her family, people who can walk with her through this grief process. Thank you for allowing us to invite people from around the country who maybe can relate with what our Lane is going through, been through that themselves, that they'll join us in prayer today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Arlena, do you have family? Do you have some people supporting you?
I actually, on Facebook, some of my friends, like, you know, contacted me, and, well, a lot of my friends, and then his friends also. His name was George. So a lot of his friends were, like, giving their condolences and stuff. And one of my old friends that I haven't seen in 20 years, my car broke down 3 days after, 3 days after he died. So I'm stuck here with no car, too. So my friend was like, hey, I'll help you out with a car. We're fixing your car. But it needs a new engine. So, but he does have, a room for me to live in. So I have a roommate.
That's good.
I have a roommate. I have a place to go. And I have a job. And I have possibly a car. So things are falling into place. And I just want to, you know, I just want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing, you know?
Yeah, I do. And I would encourage you, Arlena, here, I really strongly encourage you, because it's in times of crisis and loss, our thinking can get just vibrating with confusion, to get some solid counsel. And if you're not in a church, to get plugged into a Bible-believing teaching church and surround yourself with some women, godly women who can encourage you. And some people who are not going to discount or not understand, but people who can connect with what you're going through, because there are resources available in your town, I'm sure, in your church. And you got to that's why we have promoted and continue to promote the importance of getting plugged into a church where the Bible is taught and you can connect with people. That's important. All right, Arlena, we'll be praying for you. Many will get connected. Boy. Talk about the mundane, you know. We're talking about the mundane things of life. What's one thing you're doing to make your marriage better? That's a wake-up call, isn't it? Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Imagine two different people. Both love God and want His will for their lives. But one of them lives a life that's wrapped up in worries, fears, and the challenges of the day, while the other wakes up to an intentional life that's free from those burdens. In Dr. Randy's message, Intentional Living Will Change Your Life, you'll learn 5 steps to living an intentional life in Christ and how your life can be transformed.
We believe that when we understand God's intention for our life, not only is God given the glory for it, but our lives are better for it.
When you support Intentional Living right now with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Start the new year off right by living intentionally. Give now, and you'll get access to these helpful resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. That's an excerpt from the lesson on intentional living can change your life. And to be clear, it doesn't mean living intentionally in Christ you're going to be free of pain. You're not. Like Arlena, death occurs, illness, problems. The good news is by living intentionally, being intentional in our lives, we're better prepared to face the realities of life because we got ourself and our thinking heading in the right direction. That's for sure. Hey, just before I get back to calls, I want to say thanks to those of you who supported us, especially wrapping up 2024, moving into 2025. I've always told you we'd be as transparent and open as we can about what's going on with the ministry. And so, as you know, we had a year-end campaign that brought us down to December 31st. And many of you called, gave gifts. We had matching gifts and all of that. Everything's been added up. And I got a report that we ended the year. We ended the year just slightly under the needed budget by about a little over $12,000. Now, for some of you all business people, you're thinking, well, that's not very much. But for our ministry, we just, listen, it comes in, it goes back out. Every dollar matters, and we don't borrow money. And so I just want you to know that's where we ended, and we're just praying as we move into this year, we can catch up, get back on track, be where we need to be. And so your faithful support in 2025 makes a big difference. So as you're able to support us, as Kurt mentioned, you can call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2, or go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and you can give there online, okay? And I say thank you for that. All right, let's get back to the topic. Matthew's in Arizona. Hey there, Matthew. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
Good, good. What's your one thing for marriage?
I don't stop chasing her.
And in a good way, I'm assuming.
No, in a good way. Yeah. One of the bits of advice that I was given, kind of early on, is just that. Don't stop chasing her. Mm-hmm. I frankly flirt with my wife like I'm a 15-year-old boy.
Now, does that drive her nuts? She secretly enjoys that, doesn't she?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, so, she giggles. She laughs, you remember the movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Somebody had asked Jessica Rabbit, why do you go for this clown, right? And she goes, he makes me laugh, mm-hmm. right? And of course, there is the politically, not politically, but the Christian proper answer of, praying for my marriage, which I obviously do. But, we did take the love languages thing. Mine is touch. I am a very physically affectionate person, and I show that. Her thing is little acts of service. That's her thing. Mm-hmm. So I do that. But ultimately, I show her. I tell her all the time, and I even told her during our vows that, I'm not going to try to promise you the moon. I'm not going to make all these lofty promises that I'm not going to keep up with. But what I will promise you is I'm going to torment you, I'm going to tease you, and I'm going to make you question your every life's decision. And so for 10 years later, I hold true to that. I flirt with her like I'm a 15-year-old boy and show her that, our marriage is not going stale. I'm still having fun with it, And likewise, I mean, she is really good at returning that favor too. And sometimes I question my own life's decisions,
Absolutely. Hey, Matthew, thank you, man. Keep chasing her in a good way, right? And keep her laughing. All right, that's good. Hey, one thing. Do you have some humor? Do you have some of that? Are you still pursuing your spouse like you did before you dated? Come on. Just a thought. From Matthew. David is in New Mexico. Hey, David, how you doing?
Stay in the hospital.
Hello, David. Are you there? Right? Great. Hey, tell us.
Yes, I'm here.
Tell us about one thing in your marriage.
I'm at the point where my wife and I learned that you have to separate biblical principles and expectations. Biblical principles are non-negotiable. You run your marriage on those. Expectations are things that you get married and you might look at the marriage and you think, well, I expect her to do such and such and so and so. We have arrived at the point where we know that some of our expectations aren't biblical. So we've learned to adapt. And she's almost as stubborn and hard-headed as her husband. So I have a lot of trouble with that guy. And we have learned that the biggest plus for the marriage is to admit we made a mistake and apologize and ask forgiveness, because it goes a long ways toward shifting expectations.
Yeah,
and understanding each other.
Well, you know, when you look at that little form, you look at the little formula that we use, David, which is expectations minus reality. Expectation minus reality equals disappointment. And if we follow that equation, there's only one of two things we can change, either expectation or reality. And I like what you say, that if your expectation is built on the wrong premise, it's not realistic, not biblical, then that needs to be changed. However, if it is biblical and it's a reasonable expectation, then we need to change reality. We need to change how we respond, how we behave, how we marry. In other words, how we act and behave in our marriage. But it's true. There are times when an expectation is either not reasonable to the person, the person's just not equipped to be able to do that, or it's not biblical. And of course, as believers, if it's not biblical, then it shouldn't be on our list anyway, right? Clearly. All right. Very good. Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Let me see. Let me go to Patrick in Michigan. Hey, Patrick, how are you today?
I'm blessed.
Great. So am I. What's your one thing for marriage?
Well, me, I always put my wife before me. I always ask her, and I always tell her every day I love her. Like how Jesus loves all humanity. I told her I love her that much. And I just, every time I always do something good for her, it makes me feel so awesome. After all, God hates divorce.
Right.
So all I can say is, you know, you got to treat your spouse better than yourself.
You know, there's a biblical backing for that, by the way. The Bible says, don't think only of your own interest, but also the interest of another, and certainly your spouse is another. And when we do that, there's something I think in a healthy man's life, in a man who's healthy, rather, relationally, that he enjoys serving his spouse. That's a positive thing. I think we're equipped that way. We're built that way. It's a positive thing. And of course, having balance, because sometimes the things that we find joy in service isn't necessarily what our spouse wanted. That gets back to the love languages again, right? Isn't that true? Jennifer, turn your mic on. I mean, you're a woman. Isn't that true? Sometimes, you know, as a guy, you can be saying, oh, I'm serving my wife in one way, and her love language is something different.
Oh, yeah. And it worked for my husband and I, because our love languages are different.
Yeah.
And once I took the test and I said, hey, you need to do this, take this test, we found out we're very different. We communicate different. We like different. He really likes being with me. It doesn't matter what we're doing. He wants my presence.
Yeah.
And for me, I really like acts of service. And so he started doing little, and it really doesn't matter for me what it is.
Just do something.
I found that it makes me so happy. He'll say, oh, I did this for you. And I'm like, oh, yay. So we already have it on the calendar coming up next weekend. We are cleaning the garage out. And so I'm looking forward to it, because he's getting the spend time together part. And I'm getting the acts of service
part. I'll tell you what, if my wife Donna's listening, she's a kindred spirit with you. Just do something. Of course, what I do stuff, but I got to get credit for it. I mean, why do it not get credit, right? Exactly. Yeah, you turn in your paper to get a grade, right? So yes. Come on, how many of us as guys, we do something out in the garage or outside, but we got to come in and tell her what we just did so we get a little pat on the head. All right. Did we take a second break? We're going to take a quick break? All right, let's do that and we'll be right back. But here's really the statements that wrap around what it means to live intentionally. I'm clear about the purpose of my life. I choose to take daily action in whatever area it may be today. It could be your health, your finances, or your work. And I do that by faith. And I'm pretty consistent to do what the Bible teaches and how the Holy Spirit leads each day. I take life seriously, but not myself too seriously. I know I'm not perfect, but I've allowed my spirit to be awakened by God's leading, His convicting, His convincing, or by His commands from Scripture. In the areas of my life that matter, I daily seek what pleases Christ. And you know what? I'm pretty consistent to follow through every day. You know, if you can relate to that, then you're closer to the what we call the quadrant, the matrix of intentional living, the quadrant two, which really focuses on living an intentional life. Excerpt from the lesson, intentional living can change your life. It really can. I'll tell you what, we're running out of time. Sherry Zetta, hang on. I'm gonna talk to you off air. We're going to record you and others that we have coming in here. And we'll air the show. We're going to record it now, and we'll air it on Monday. That's Martin Luther King Day. And also, it's the big day, January 20th in Washington, D.C., Inauguration Day, right, for the 47th President of the United States. Anyway, we'll be back and we'll do that. But right now, the phone line will remain open to you. And we'd love to hear your one thing for your marriage as you call 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Hey, we're wrapping up the show today. And as we do, my heart lingers on the call that we had from Arlena earlier on, whose husband passed away just a month ago, I think today, she said. And it's a reminder that our time is short on the planet, and we want to bring glory to God, and we can begin right in our home and our family and our marriage. The Bible says that we're to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. The question is, what pleases Him? What pleases Him when it comes to that relationship that we have with that person that we've married for a lifetime? Make it a good one. We're here to encourage you in the process. And I want to thank all of our supporters, donors, friends, those who pray for and financially support Intentional Living to allow us to do that. If you're not a part of the team, come and join us. Your support's needed and, of course, welcomed. Go to theintentionallife.com or you can call anytime here during business hours, 888-888-1717 and press number 2 prompt. Talk to our staff. I'm Dr. Randy with the team. This is Intentional Living, and it's a ministry of Intentional Life Media.